welcome to episode 11 of Role Play Grow, the podcast for tabletop entrepreneurs, creators, and fans. I am Courtney Stover of Lighthearted Adventures, and in this podcast, we talk to the creators behind the brands in the tabletop roleplay gaming space about who they are and how they're turning their passion for gaming into a career. Our next guest is Charles Barger of NPC Creations. He creates intricate scenes with tabletop terrain and miniatures and then takes gorgeous photos. We are talking battle scenes, campfires, towns, hellscapes, underwater terrain. He has an eye for design and his images are really captivating. He now works with companies to do product photos and still enjoys sharing his own creations. Charles' story is really cool and an example of someone who really stumbled into this industry just doing something that he loved. And those are really the stories that I love to tell on this podcast. But before we jump into today's episode, gotta do some business. So first up, we do have a Patreon for Lighthearted Adventures and Roleplay Grow. It's a pretty cool place. There's a lot of cool stuff that we like to post. And you've got options on whether you'd like to follow the adventurer track, which will get you maps and adventures, or the merchant track, which gets you some fun bonuses around this podcast. If Patreon isn't your jam, you can also support the show by subscribing, sharing it with your friends, and leaving a review. Reviews are super important for the show to be able to grow, so if you've been hanging out and you like what you're hearing, please drop me a review on your podcast platform of choice. Lastly, today's affiliate that I'd like to mention is Found Familiar Coffee. I drink a lot of coffee, and that means that I'm really picky about the coffee that I buy for myself. Pretty much ever since trying Found Familiar, it's the only coffee that I buy. They're just a really cool company that has D&D themed coffee. They support artists in the community and their coffee is absolutely delicious. And I say that because it is 100% true. I've tried pretty much every flavor and I love it all. If you use code LIGHTHEARTADV at checkout, you'll receive 10% off your order, help support this show and a really, really cool company. And also just have some really great coffee. All right, let's go meet Charles. Today, I am super excited to introduce you to Charles Barger, the owner of NPC Creations. Welcome, Charles. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. It's a nice, chill weekend, which is always fun.
Absolutely.
So to kick things off, can you tell us a bit about who you are and how you got into the gaming space?
Yeah, my name is Charles. I started playing D&D. The first time I ever played it was back in high school. My German teacher actually had a fourth edition campaign that he was running in an after school club. And that was kind of my first intro into tabletop RPGs. But before that, I mean, when I was five, I was given a Nintendo playing, Mario and Duck Hunt and that kind of thing. And I was kind of a gamer ever since.
Oh, yeah. Those are some good games for sure. Have you been playing D&D ever since he introduced it to you?
I played it like very sparingly in fourth edition in high school because I would, it was an after school thing. So sometimes I would go. And then after that, I kind of fell off D&D just because of, life and going to school and getting a job and everything. It just, it wasn't in the cards schedule-wise to keep playing, but I eventually, around 5th edition, is when I started to get back into it, just because I was kind of craving that, communal, like, sitting around a table with people and playing a game again, because, playing online games is great, but it just doesn't have that same feeling of nostalgia and just kind of remembering back to the old days kind of thing. But yeah, ever since 5th edition, I've been DMing for about 5 years now.
Did that continue with COVID or did you kind of have to stop for that?
Yeah, unfortunately, the in-person game stopped just because, I play with a lot of kind of medically conscious people. And in that regard, so they just didn't want to take any risks or put anyone in danger just because a couple of the players do work with the public. So it was one where we went to digital, we switched to Roll20 and are playing in that way. We're looking forward to the vaccination rollout so we can kind of get back to the table.
Definitely. Same here. So you mostly DM. Do you get to play at all?
So I sometimes play in like one shots with people. that kind of thing. I've never been in a long campaign where I was just a player. Honestly, that sounds amazing to me, but it's something that hasn't happened yet, unfortunately.
Yeah, I feel like that's the curse of a good DM, is that everyone kind of wants you to keep doing that job, even if you're like, but I want to play.
Absolutely. And plus, I'm so pot committed because I have all this terrain and all these DMing materials. And it's just like, I don't want to ever let those go by the wayside. You know, I want to keep using those tools and those things I bought, but I also would love a little bit of a break every now and again.
Oh, yeah, I honestly didn't even think about the fact that, like, of course you have the best stuff to DM in person. Yeah, I bet that was definitely a big change with not being able to use all of your...
In a one shot that I was in, I basically messaged the DM like, hey, do you want any of my stuff to use? Like, I'll let you like walk through the shop essentially and pick anything out for your campaign, you know, just because it's going to be sitting here in storage while we're running a game. So I like to offer that to people when I play with them.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, well, that honestly makes a pretty good transition point for our listeners. Can you tell us a little bit about what NPC Creations is and what you do?
So yeah, I'll be honest. NPC Creations was kind of born from kind of what I was just talking about, having a mountain of terrain and minis and all these lights and things like that, and not really being able to use them in person. So it was kind of spawned from quarantine boredom, I would say, and just kind of gave me a creative outlet in a space that was kind of denied because of COVID. And it was kind of born out of just me messing around in my basement and building these things. And I got positive reactions from people and just kept doing it. And it's kind of been growing into a more of like a tabletop RPG kind of media option for some people.
Wow, so this is still pretty new then.
Oh yeah, this is a very new company. We're still figuring out like where our main direction is going to be. Right now, you know, we are taking, you know, small jobs for like product pictures, working with some podcasts and things like that to get some like narrative sequences to kind of complement, you know, theater of the mind campaigns in that regard. But right now we're just kind of open in a very creative way to any type of creative endeavor, anything we can do to enhance a campaign or to, you know, give someone some storytelling tools that maybe they normally wouldn't have access to. And that's kind of where we're carving out a niche kind of place in the industry.
Yeah. So I would love to just hear a little bit more about how you kind of got this idea and started sharing it out into the world.
Yeah. It was one where I've always done very kind of elaborate builds for my players. Like when we used to play in person. So it was one where I wanted to keep that creative outlet open. So it just turned into me taking it one step further and just kind of upping production value, upping my lighting setup, you know, and investing in that and giving myself the ability to kind of tell stories with just a couple images is kind of what I was going for. And yeah, it just kind of just snowballed. And it was just, I put something out and people, the reaction to it was, I couldn't believe it, you know, because it was people that I look up to and who have inspired me for years commenting and telling me, you know, this is amazing. You know, I use this inspiration for something, you know, it's just kind of surreal because I'm just a fan of people and to have people outreaching to me and kind of saying the same things that I used to say to people, it's kind of unreal.
I feel like there must have been a little bit of a surprise and real excitement.
Yeah. I mean, people, you know, on the Dwarven Forge team that would, you know, reach out and, you know, Shad Ross from Hyperion Terrain. He's honestly one of the reasons I got into this, and to have him comment and say, you know, it's just, it's funny because you know, you don't want to seem like such a fan once you start talking to people, you know, and it's hard to make that adjustment because I am still just a fan. It's one where I'm just trying to maintain my cool and not blow my cover.
Yeah, I've definitely had to have that as like former life of like stage manager, producer stuff. And I'd be like, oh, I have to be the most professional person and help you do with your things. But I just want to geek out so hard right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, cool. So I know a big part of this is that you're also doing the photography for it. Kind of what's your background with photography? When did that start?
It started when I started first getting into photography when I had my second child. I had never owned a camera up to that point. All my pictures were done on my phone. And then once I had kids, I was like, I would really love to be able to do photo shoots, you know, for me and my wife, or, you know, the family and that kind of thing. So that's whenever I first bought my first like actual decent camera and started messing around with lighting setups in the house and backdrops, that kind of thing. And it just kind of like naturally transitioned to being like perfect for tabletop, because I now have a, you know, 4K capable camera. I have backdrops, I have lighting, and all of that really is what kind of, I think, amplifies my shoots beyond just having, you know, terrain and miniatures that kind of go well together.
Yeah. What would you say is kind of the process of one of your photo shoots, from kind of start of the idea, whether that's one of your ideas or maybe a client's idea, and then just kind of the whole process until you've got the completed photos?
Whenever it's like a self-generated project, it comes from just kind of my DM mind, kind of thinking of things that either happened in a campaign or maybe that I saw in, you know, any movie or media or anything like that. And there's like just an idea that I want to capture. And then I basically just try to create what is this image in my mind and try to put it on the table, essentially, through first starting out with, you know, terrain, picking a backdrop that matches, setting up lighting and miniatures. And then after that, just a lot of fine tuning and tweaking, a lot of trial and error in terms of taking images and getting shot layouts and just making sure that everything can be in focus and that kind of thing. And it's pretty loose whenever it's my self-generated thing, because it is just kind of creativity, just messing around, essentially. But when it's a client, it's a little more specific in that regard. Obviously, we're trying to create what they have in their mind. And sometimes that involves with just having a conversation about the project overall, kind of like setting up almost like you're developing scenes, really. Just a couple of snippets of snapshots of characters, of settings, of what you're trying to convey within the scene. And then you kind of just lay that out, get like a fundamental understanding of what you're going for, just so there's no miscommunications. And then after that, it's just a process of feeding them images that I generate and then just getting approval.
Yeah. How large, or I guess how many shots would you say a typical commission is?
It's so random. It could be a single image, you know, for a product, or it could be, you know, 4 to 5 shots kind of conveying a fight or a narrative development or something like that. So it is very mixed at the moment, because, you know, like I said, it's such a niche specific thing that it's definitely not standard each time something comes through.
Yeah, I've been, you know, just perusing all of your photos, and they all look, I mean, gorgeous. It's really, really interesting and really complex and intricate. And I've noticed just a lot of differences. I'm curious, like, what kind of requests do you normally get? Like, do you have to kind of suss out some details? Are they really vague, or do you get clients that know exactly what they want?
Well, I think anyone who works through like art commissions kind of knows that some people have 5 pages of notes on what they want. Other ones are like, I would like a fight at a castle. You know, it's kind of like, it's a huge range. I mean, some people are very specific and know exactly what they want. And it's nice when that's the case. And sometimes you do need to sort of extract information from them, just questions and conversations back and forth, just because ultimately you want to create what they had in their mind and make sure that you're giving them the storytelling tool that they need. And if, you know, there's miscommunications or if there's misunderstanding in any way, you know, that will affect kind of the final product. So it's kind of one where sometimes you have to be a little bit more straightforward and upfront with them about just needing specific details and needing to make sure that you're going to capture what their vision was.
Yeah, that makes sense. How about sourcing all of these materials? I know you said that you had just had a large collection of terrain and minis from just DMing over the years, but do you ever find yourself needing to get more supplies, or do you think that what you have is pretty set?
Well, no, there's always more, unfortunately. once you start collecting, I don't know when that ends. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
It's the day I have enough Dwarven Forge, I'm sure it'll be, you know, my 90th birthday or something. But yeah, it's one where now I also do a lot of 3D printing. So anytime I need something very specific or very, maybe that isn't manufactured, then the 3D printing option really opens up a lot of doors as well, because it's just unlimited creativity and the ability to cheaply generate intricate, detailed terrain or miniatures. But in terms of like the background you see, that kind of thing, that's all been added within the last 6 months to a year. And that catalog of backgrounds and backdrops, that's going to be growing for years to come, for sure.
How often are you doing the 3D printing to add more assets?
Oh, for about 6 months, it never stopped running when I first got it. And it slowed down a little bit just because I, like most tabletop players, have a mountain of unpainted things that I need to get through. So I'm at the point now where I have a huge backlog to get through. But if I need something specific for a shoot, I'll quickly print that, quickly paint that so I can use it for the specific job that's coming up. But yeah, it's I went through, I don't even know, probably 20 spools of material like when I first got the thing. And I just have shelves of unpainted stuff that I'm still working my way through right now.
I'm not going to lie, I kind of want to just see what's there and just like nerd out over it.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? That's actually not a bad idea. Maybe I should kind of take some pictures of the the mad scientist laboratory that I have going.
Like, look at all of the options.
Yeah, exactly. Just a mountain of gray minis that aren't painted yet. And I'm honestly dreading. I have an order with Reaper Miniatures, their Kickstarter they just did. So I'm going to have just another mountain of unpainted minis coming in very soon as well. So it's going to, I'll have to get serious about burning through this backlog. It's a good problem to have, but it's also like, how am I getting anxiety from unpainted miniatures?
You know? Things that you didn't expect to be anything but fun.
Yeah, the firstest of world problems right there. But
yeah, so I feel like what you do is so niche and just interesting that I'm really curious kind of how you have been able to kind of turn this into a sort of revenue stream, going from setting up these elaborate systems and taking photos of your own sets and sharing those. Kind of how did that turn into the point that you were able to start charging for the prints that you had done or getting those kind of first commissions?
Yeah, a lot of it came initially from Twitter, really. I mean, just people, companies seeing the art, seeing the images that I was creating. And I kind of think that they thought, who better to take pictures and to capture emotion of their products than a DM, you know, someone who loves the product, loves the game, and who kind of gets it in that regard. You know, a lot of photographers may, you know, work in the same field, but having that love of the game, I think, really helps and kind of gives me something that just seems appealing to companies. And initially, offers came through for just product shots, just wanting to collaborate, podcast, that kind of thing, just to get narrative sequences involved. And I honestly can't believe it still to this day that people will pay me to play with, tabletop stuff and do something that it doesn't even feel like work. You know, it is like a labor of love, essentially, at this point. I'm sure as things get busier, it might start to feel a little bit more like a job. But right now, it's still just a very fun, kind of crazy time.
How much time on a week or monthly basis would you say that you're spending on this?
Oh, man, I would say lately, like I said, I do have two kids, so I don't have a lot of time in the day. Usually it's at nights, you know, after everyone's asleep, I'll head to the basement and kind of like start to build and do things. And I'd say roughly at least 10 hours a week, probably I'm spending on it. And that's both commissions and then also just my personal kind of, you know, messing around and that kind of thing. But it's crazy because when you're doing this, just time flies, obviously, because it's, you know, something I actually enjoy doing. And I do wish there was more time in the day for it, for sure.
Yeah. What about for a, like, just one specific setup? How long would you say that typically takes you to put together?
It's kind of a mixed bag, honestly, because sometimes you just have an idea and you put it on the table and it just works and it's just perfect. And you can get the shots and, you know, a couple hours or something like that. Another time, it's more of a process and it's more fine tuning. And sometimes you're just not happy at the end of the shoot. So you just kind of keep plugging away and tweaking till it's right. But it could be anywhere from 2 to 5 hours, roughly, per shoot, essentially.
And then when you have a commission, I mean, you don't have to go into the specifics of these, but like when you have a commission, do you normally charge like an hourly rate? Do you have kind of a set price that you do per photo?
Yeah, it depends on the project. Usually, most companies want to do per shot, or per product. Right now, because this company is so young still, and it's like we're still figuring it out as we go, essentially, that what people are willing to pay and just what we think we deserve to charge, just because, you know, there is time and there is a certain, not I want to say expertise, but like there is some type of, I'm trying to find the words. it's sort of, you know, there is a certain amount you should charge for your time when you're doing something. And we're still trying to figure that out to see what is fair to both us and then also, you know, ultimately to the client. So it could be a lump sum per job. It could be per shot. It's still just kind of being so niche. It's not really a standardized kind of industry thing at this point.
Yeah, I guess that's mostly why I was wondering, is that it feels like this would have been hard, especially at first, to put a number out there.
Exactly. It's like, I'll just do it for free. Oh, wait, no, I should charge. You know, it's like, yeah, it was very odd and surreal just to, you know, invoice someone for this thing that just kind of spawned out of just wanting to use my terrain and wanting to utilize all the assets that I have while this pandemic is getting in the way of our tabletop game.
Yeah. And the thing is, too, is like you're saying it can take you 2.5-5 hours to get this done. Like, that's not a fast time. And does that even include the editing of the photos? I feel like that's still editing on top of that.
Yeah. Then definitely, yeah, after that, there is post. Initially, when I first started doing this, I liked to do just raw photos of unphotoshopped images, just because to me there was some beauty in just having it like, this is exactly how it looked like this, because you can do a lot of things in post to, you know, pretty up these shots, but a lot of the initial shots that you can see on the site are all raw photos, absolutely no posts done at all, because I was really wanting to focus on the practical effects, the actually creating the scene that you see versus taking a shot and then going in post and just doing a ton of work on it. But lately, just to put another, you know, feather in the cap for myself, I have gotten heavily into Photoshop, healing brushes, and just tweaking like things just to really fine tune it. But yeah, it's been a good learning process though for that, for sure.
Yeah, I bet. And they do look absolutely gorgeous. But now I'm going to go back and kind of compare the first ones and be like, see if I see the differences.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's still surreal to me, and I just. It just really makes me happy to see people reacting the way that I've reacted to things that I've seen in the industry over the years. It's just kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it is really cool. And I frankly haven't really seen anyone else out on any of the normal social medias doing what you do. And that was honestly why I wanted to snag you for this interview. I was like, this is cool.
I honestly hope it gets more people into it. And I hope more people realize they can do this, that it's not, you know, I didn't go to, you know, art school for photography or anything like that. You know, if someone has the kind of the passion and the drive, like anyone can learn how to do this. And I hope it does get more people into it, because I wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't for the people that I looked up to in years for the, you know, past 5 years. If I could be that for someone, then that's really all I could really hope for.
What would you say is the favorite shoot that you've done so far?
Oh, man. Like, pick your favorite kid.
Laying down the hard questions.
I would say, honestly, still to this day, I think the underwater arena is still my favorite, which is the green shot of the arena scene with the giant in the background. That was the first time I did a shoot. And afterwards, I was like, wow, I can't believe I made this. And I just, yeah, I'd say that has to be my favorite.
Side note, definitely going to ask for that photo for the show notes. Y'all can see what that looks like too. It is, I think I know which one you're referring to. It's, yeah, I can see that. That's awesome. Which photo would you say has been the hardest one?
I would say the hellscape scenes are always much more time consuming and difficult to set up, just because the nature of the light panels underneath and having wiring and having, you know, it's just a much more intricate, complicated build. So I'd say the Archon, the Cruel shoot that I did on the hellscape terrain was probably the most difficult, because you had multiple tiers of elevation in the terrain. You had the light panels underneath, which need to be set up perfectly so that the light doesn't shine through in a bad way and that it still illuminates the pieces. And then all while trying to keep the camera in focus and keep it from overexposing from all the light that's going on in the shot. So yeah, I'd say definitely the Archon the Cruel was the most difficult, which is funny because, you know, it's basically an image of hell. So kind of makes sense that that would be the most tricky to deal with, right?
How large are these builds usually?
You can see in some of my shots, they're very tight, very close-up focus shots. And other ones are much more sprawling and wide. Like, for instance, the hellscape was at least probably 4 feet by 3 feet, the build. Because I like to actually build beyond the shot just in case I want to mess with angles or turn the camera a little bit more. I have a little bit more of a buffer on each end than what you actually see in the shoots. But yeah, I'd say they can kind of build up. I actually recently purchased a larger table because I wanted to grow the size of the shoots a little bit. Because starting out, I had this like 3x4 table, and it would just be filled to the brim every shoot. So I had to upgrade a little bit and get a bigger one. And it's been much, much easier to work on for sure.
For kind of the more business side of MPC Creations, what would you say has been some challenges of getting this out and trying to grow this as a more of a business?
Well, it's kind of the hustle of trying to get exposure online, Twitter and things like that. Because this is a business, but I also don't want it to feel like a business, if that makes sense. Because I don't want to kind of ruin the reason that I got into this, which is kind of to enjoy the art and the game itself. But it was definitely difficult to just even get people to look at this stuff initially. Luckily, the tabletop community online is so tight-knit and so generous and kind in terms of boosting people. You know, I had like a couple hundred followers, and I had accounts with, you know, like 10,000 followers, like, hey, check this out, you know, that kind of thing. It's just so great that there's so many people ready to lift each other up in this community. But other than that, in terms of like the difficulties of the actual business side, I mean, I had no experience, you know, starting an LLC and like getting a tax ID, not really going through that whole administrative side of things on a business, while also, you know, taking into account, you know, tax laws, all that kind of stuff. Like, that was all new to me. So it was all very trial by fire initially setting it up. But yeah, because I'm more of, I want to just do the thing. I want to be creative. I want to have fun. So the administrative side of it was just definitely a more of a boring detour. Something that I wasn't as eager to deal with.
Yeah, it definitely does. And honestly, I feel like it's like that a lot with the people that, you know, we're hanging out with. Everyone that either does is an artist and a content creator. Like, we just want to make stuff and have fun and let somebody else deal with all that.
Deal with all the paperwork and the...
Yeah. Taxes are definitely getting more weird every year.
It is nice though, because now when I purchase things, there is a write-off option involved. Mm-hmm. It's nice. Very nice.
Yeah. I have to get some more Dwarven Forge. It's a write-off. It's for the business.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, obviously, my business wouldn't succeed if I didn't spend $5,000 on Dwarven Forge a year.
Obviously.
I dread the day if I ever get audited having to explain this to an IRS tax agent.
Right.
Yeah. You can look at me like I'm crazy, but.
Yeah. So you said that you got established as an LLC. I guess at what point did you realize that that was something that you should probably do?
It honestly stemmed a lot from the tax side of things. Honestly, I was looking to offset some taxes essentially, and it makes sense really. And also it's the one where if you're gonna do business and things like that, it's good to have it not be your personal self kind of doing these business transactions and getting involved with companies. Because, you know, if anything were to happen, or if I don't even know what that could be, but if anything were to happen negatively, it's always good to have that buffer of the LLC between you and the professional, if that makes sense.
Yeah, agreed.
It's kind of surreal too. It's like starting a tabletop company. It's something I really never thought I would do, you know? And it's just, it's very cool to see that actually come to fruition.
So is this something that you would like to turn full-time at some point?
I mean, I think that's everyone's dream, right? Is to be able to work in the tabletop industry full-time without any need for outside income. That is something that, you know, we'll kind of see as the company evolves and just as more clientele come in, just to see, you know, is that realistic? Is that possible? Because like I said, you know, I have two kids and kind of, it would be a lot of pictures to be able to put them through college. So we'll see kind of, you know, as the business grows, kind of what the potential is. Because right now, I mean, it's hard to gauge based on the specificity of the of what we do.
Yeah, that's fair. Do you do any actual physical prints, or is it all digital?
You mean just the products that we provide? Like, do people want physical printed out things? Is that what you're asking? Yeah. So right now, I think what we're going to be doing next is moving to having those in the shop if people want to purchase them and that kind of thing. Because I thought there's no way anybody would want a print of my pictures of physical terrain, right? But the feedback that I'm seeing online is that people actually would want that just for like a game room or, you know, something to complement like a gaming area, you know, which again blows my mind. Like I just keep getting my mind blown by what, you know, the people are actually interested in this stuff. But yeah, I think the shop on our website is going to be getting an update in the next week or so to include kind of product options, physical prints, and that kind of thing. Also, hopefully some merchandise with the logo and that kind of thing. And just kind of gauge and see what people are interested in.
Yeah, I mean, that's really exciting that you're getting all of that feedback.
Yeah, it's surreal, honestly.
I feel like those are the best just businesses, though. It's just you just start doing something that you love and realize that a lot of other people love it, too. And then it just keeps growing.
Yeah, it's exciting, honestly. It's just because I never thought anyone would care at all about, you know, me, what I do and my with my tabletop stuff in the beginning, and then just to see how they do care, and you know, the followers kind of growing and people wanting to win art prints, and it's just it's so cool, honestly, and it's really exciting.
I'm excited for you. So do you, I mean, I feel like we've kind of touched on this a little bit, but just to get some specifics out there, are there any goals that you're currently working towards that you'd are just kind of hoping will really take off?
Yeah, I mean, it's one where I'm trying to grow enough of a following and enough of a reputation, hopefully, within the industry that I can eventually work with, you know, some companies and brands that I've always enjoyed, you know, using their products. And I've also, you know, companies that I've always, you know, really enjoyed what they've done creatively for the tabletop space and that kind of thing. I would love to work with, like I mentioned, I would love to work with Reaper and Dwarven Forge, and I recently started doing Critical Role dioramas because I've been a huge fan of Critical Role ever since Campaign One, and just now having the means to recreate some of my favorite scenes there, if I could just get them to notice them, then that's a win from the gate. I mean, you know, like Liam O'Brien liked the dioramas that I did that I posted on Thursday, and honestly, like that to me is like better than the money that was coming in from some of the job. Just to have these people that you idolize, you know, just even to see your work and appreciate it is just unreal.
Yeah. I do feel like there is definitely some opportunity for sponsorships, though.
Absolutely. You know, Eldritch Foundry has been very kind to us as well. You see, I like to give away their miniatures for giveaways just because I really enjoy their product and the customizable mini. And I think that's someone, even someone who doesn't play in person a lot or anything like that, still would like to have a rendition of their character physically made, you know, which is why I think that product is so interesting and why I think it makes a great giveaway prize for the community.
Yeah. So I know you've mentioned Dwarven Forge, you're mentioning Eldritch Foundry. Is there any other kind of main place that you get your supplies from?
Mainly with terrain, it is Dwarven Forge, WizKids as well. They have a lot of great stuff coming out. Their pre-painted stuff is very nice and, you know, saves me the hassle of adding it to the pile of unpainted minis. As far as terrain goes, oh, I have to shout out Keys Morology. They make up a lot of the LED equipment that I use in my setups. Before I had more professional-ish kind of lighting setups, I would use their products for like all lighting effects. They have an Etsy. It's him and his family just making these embedded LED 3D printed pieces of terrain, like lamps, like street posts, campfires, that kind of thing. And they do some really awesome stuff. I've been buying it ever since I found it, honestly.
Oh, that's really cool. I honestly have been wondering like how you got the lights into some of those pieces. That's cool.
Yeah, they do great stuff. And his stuff, I mean, now that he's, you know, kind of getting some more recognition, the recognition he deserves to get, I think, he, you know, those things hit the shop and then they're sold out like right away. And so it's hot commodity, but if you can get it, it's it looks great, which I think comes through in some of the photos.
Yeah, for sure. they definitely make it just that much more like realistic, I think. It's just having like the glow of a street lamp kind of illuminating part of it.
Absolutely. Because no amount of setup lights would be able to capture like a 360 radial glow effect of a campfire. It has to be from the source to really create a realistic lighting setup. And I think that's what one of the biggest things that, that his products offer is just that, that really just, it really adds something to it and really makes it real, you know, and pop in the images. But yeah, definitely check him out.
Cool. Yeah. I'll include that link in the show notes as well. So do you have any upcoming projects that you are excited about and willing to share?
Unfortunately, the ones that I am excited about, I can't talk about yet.
Fair enough.
Which seems to be the common theme that I see with people is everyone's really excited, but you don't know why. But I am very excited. I can just say that, I guess.
Okay. So if money were no object and you could have the most elaborate setup you've ever made, what would be the scene that you would want to make?
Oh, man.
I know, I just keep putting you on the spot, but that's the point of this interview.
I have to pull up my, like, DM dream journal. And, and honestly, like, the most iconic scene I can think of, and it resonates with me, like, even when I was super young, be probably the Battle of Helm's Deep, honestly. Just because that has always been, like, my favorite single battle in any movie, honestly. And just to be able to recreate, you know, the makeup of Helm's Deep and the wall and everything, I think that would be kind of my dream project right there.
Would you do it before the wall is kind of blown up or after?
Oh, I'd do it while the wall was blown up. I have the stuff like midair, kind of like seeing the explosion, you know, with the, yeah, that would be awesome, honestly. Have like a cotton ball kind of explosion coming out, you know, and have everything hung on, you know, wires or something holding it up and try to recreate that moment. Because, I mean, what's more iconic than that scene, right?
Okay, that would be so amazing.
Oh, gosh. Now my brain's going to be wanting to make that happen.
I don't know whether to say I'm sorry or you're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah. They're going to be like, did you mean to buy 10,000 orc miniatures? It's,
yeah, this is expense.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. That's when the tax man comes knocking.
Cool. Well, I know that you seem to just talk so much about how much you love doing this, but if you were just to look back over the last year, what would you say has been the most rewarding part of starting NPC Creations?
I would say just discovering that I can be creative and people actually like it, because honestly, most of my life I've been more, I'm like an engineer by like my day job, you know? And so I'm very logic based and just like mechanical and automation, you know, that kind of thing. And it's just, it doesn't really lend itself to a very good creative outlet. And to find a creative outlet that people enjoy and are inspired by, I mean, that is such a new thing for me that it's amazing. And it's the first time I've really had anything like that in my life, honestly.
That's really special. Like, I'm so glad for you that you found this, but I'm also selfishly so glad that this is out here now. And I'm definitely going to be looking forward to those print options. Not going to lie.
Yeah, I gotta get it together because, you know, I don't want it to become too much of a business, but I'm also, you know, typical American capitalist that I just am like, how do I make some money on this? When, you know, I don't want to take the soul out of it though, you know, and then in that way, but yeah, no, it is something where if I could somehow manage to make this full time, then man, that would be the dream.
Yeah. Well, I hope that can happen for you one day without taking the fun out of it.
Yeah.
It's always I think the worry of the artist is like, yes, I want to get paid, but also
anytime anything grows too big, sometimes it, you know, you can't help but lose parts of that fun startup kind of vibe that you had going. Mm-hmm. Such is life.
Indeed. Well, Charles, thank you so much for coming and chatting with me today. Where can people find you?
So you can find me on the website, npccreations.com, at Twitter, at @npc_creations. I post most of my stuff to Twitter and Instagram, but if you want to find me, the website's probably the best bet.
All right, perfect. We'll definitely have all of those links up on the show notes. And have people look at all of the amazing photos that you're sharing with us.
Awesome. I really appreciate it, and really appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, it was good getting a chat with you. That's it for today's episode of Role, Play, Grow. To check out the show notes, you can go to lightheartadventures.com/RPG. To keep up with every episode, please subscribe on your podcast player of choice. And if you're enjoying the show, please leave me a review. Reviews are one of the best ways to help a newer podcast get up off the ground. To follow me on Twitter, you can either find me at LightheartADV for our business account, or at KetraWCR to see me tweet about other things like my dog and World of Warcraft. You can also find us as Lightheart Adventures on both Instagram and Patreon. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next week on Role, Play, Grow.